Well, it's that time again. Welcome back to the Nerd Podcast.
Hello, hello.
As always, I'm your host, Jordan.
And I'm Doug.
And if you don't know by now, NERD stands for Never Ending Retro Dialogue. And we just kind of talk about nerd stuff.
Well, we sure try.
We do, yeah. That's all we talk about in real life, so we just decided to record it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
why not?
Today,
someone's got to enjoy this stuff, right?
Right. Well, I love the sound of my own voice.
Oh, me too. Just kidding. Thoroughly.
When I go back to listen to these podcasts, I cringe on my voice.
Squirm a little bit. Yeah, I have problems listening back when you send me the edits. It's like, oh.
Your voice sounds really good on audio, but mine is like super nasally.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, you sound like you. I don't sound like me.
Oh, well, I'm glad you hear that because I have problems sometimes.
Well, today we're going to talk about something that you've probably been wondering when we're going to talk about it, which is comics.
Comics, yes. Those are picture books, right?
Yeah, picture books. Yeah. Words and pictures.
Words and pictures.
Pictures and words.
Some drawings.
Drawings, bubbles.
Superheroes?
Well,
oh.
Mostly in America.
Okay.
But today,
yeah,
I think we're going to talk about non-superhero comics.
Oh, okay.
See, what we want to do is talk about comics that will help you get into comics.
Yes. Yes, we get, so I don't know about you, I'm sure as someone who's worked in the comic shop before, so works in the library, and you create your own comics, you get this asked a lot. But so do I, as you know, I've lived on this earth as long as I have. People, when they find out that I enjoy comics and reading, one of the things that, if they are not comic book readers, is, well, I just don't like all that superhero stuff. That's just not my thing.
Yep.
So then I take that as a personal challenge to try to come up with all these other stories that they could read. So that's what we're going to do here. We've come up with separate lists. We made sure we didn't have any duplicates because we really want to make sure that we hit a lot of good ones. We know going in, we're going to miss some.
Yeah.
Because there's a just a plethora of options out there. We could spend, you know, several hours talking about books and stories that people could read. But I know for me personally, I wanted to focus on ones that I've actually read.
Right.
So that, you know, it sounds like I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I want to say that, first of all, we'll probably do another one of these.
Absolutely.
At some point. But then the other thing is, so you're talking about people who don't like superhero comics. I think the thing that I get the most is people don't know where to start because superheroes have such history.
Yes.
So they're like, oh, I want to read X-Men, but do I have to read all 60 years of X-Men? Well, this is a sort of an entry point if you want to start reading comics, especially self-contained, I would say.
Yeah.
Or story. I think everything on here is done, for the most part, on my list, done being written and collected. So I just want to give people something to start, you know, start their reading with, because I want to be able to talk to people about comics more.
Yeah.
Because it's actually pretty rare to be able to, like, really talk about comics around here anyway.
Well, of course, yeah. There's always the preconceived notion, oh, they're for kids,
right,
or it's this or that. And, you know, most of the ones that I'm going to suggest probably aren't great options for young kids. But, you know, so the key, anytime someone asks me, you know, what would you suggest reading that's not superhero? You got to know what it is they enjoy,
right,
and what they don't enjoy. You know, are they looking for something that's just funny? Do they like fantasy? Do they like action, horror? Because I could, you know, suggest, you know, 20 different comics, but if it's not something that they like with regular books, then it's still not going to hit them right.
Yeah.
Because there's just so many amazing authors out there and artists. And sometimes you can have a great story, but that art, if it doesn't do the story justice, it could still turn someone off.
Exactly.
So I always try to, you know, make sure I temper both so that it's at least a decent option for them to try to get into comics.
Definitely. They have to be accessible in both writing and drawing. Because, like, you read comics for so long, you start to say, like, with any art form, oh, I'd kind of like to try this experimental thing.
Yeah.
Or I'd like to try this ongoing series, this weird series. Or
yeah,
I really like this art. But, like, it's not for everybody right away. So I think, my, you know, our lists are kind of, they're going to help you ease into it. And the art and the writing is pretty accessible for all of them, I think. So,
yes.
So I think that was the criteria that I went with.
Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, we are doing non-superhero options. The superheroes will be something that we focus on another episode, some of our favorite superhero stories for people to give a try.
Right. We wouldn't be real nerds if we didn't talk about superheroes.
Oh, we have to. Point. Yes, exactly.
But this is kind of episode 101, or this is sort of 101 for people who want to start reading. And because you can always start reading this and then delve into the world of superheroes, which is actually the opposite of how I did it.
Yes.
I started with superheroes and then I branched out. Mm-hmm. But I think it's easier to start this way.
Oh, agreed. Especially nowadays with publishers like Image and Scout and Aftershock, Dark Horse, you get those guys, and it makes it easier to find something that's not superhero related.
Yeah.
So it there's so many more options, and a lot of the writers that you see that write for the big two, DC and Marvel, they do their little side projects with one of these other publishers. And that's where the gems really are.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I'm looking forward to this episode. So
yeah. So do you want to go ahead and start?
Yeah, okay. I sure will. So I tried to divvy mine up into three categories: comedy, action / fantasy, and horror. What I found is that one, a couple of my comedies were the same as yours, so I let you keep them. So most of mine are in action and horror, and most of them are in action. So the one comedy book that I recommend, if you do not want a superhero story, is I Hate Fairyland.
Good choice.
It is by Scotty Young. It is a great book, and I would say for the most part, this book is probably safe for teens.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go much younger than that. So there's no cursing or anything. That's the funny part. So I Hate Fairyland. You've got a young girl who gets visited. She goes to Fairyland, and she has her guide, and they have to get back out. Well, they didn't get out, and so she has now been in Fairyland, I think it's like 20 years.
Yeah, something like that.
But she's still in a 10-year-old's body. There's no curse words in it. Scotty Young finds all kinds of fun ways to fairylandize the curse words, you know, mother fluffer.
She's unable to curse, right?
She is unable to curse, exactly. But that being said, it is hilariously violent.
Yes.
She is very skilled at taking things out. and that's all I'm going to say.
Well, I'm going to say the thing about I Hate Fairyland and Scotty Young in general, he's one of those artists that you know his work when you see it. Once you read it one time, you know it's his art.
Yes.
So if you're looking for a really unique artist, that is a book I'd recommend.
He had another great story called Middle West that I did not put on my list because I've not read. So,
yeah, I don't know that one.
So again, I'm trying to leave this to things that I've actually read. So let's go down that. Like I said, that's my only comedy. So now we're into action and fantasy. So this first one, it's what got me back into comics. So like you, I was all superhero, superhero, superhero. And then my buddy Brett, hey Brett, if you're listening, worked at the Laughing Ogre in Columbus. And we had talked about comics for a while, and I had told him how I didn't get into it. I had been out for a while. So he brings me Preacher by Garth Ennis. Now, some of you probably know Preacher because there was an AMC series. I don't know if it's still going on or not.
I think it's over.
Is it over? Now, I will say Preacher is definitely for mature audiences only.
Not for kids.
You are going to find all the full gambit of language and violence and content. And, but it is just great. You know what did it for me? One, the content, right? It's not a superhero story. You've got angels and demons. You've got John Wayne's ghost popping up every once in a while. They throw in some killers of saints and vampires. And it is just a whirlwind of zaniness. But man, does it work.
Yeah, the thing for me, Preacher was also one of my first non-superhero stories that I read that really opened my eyes to what comics were capable of. And I read that right after college. Mm-hmm. My friend lent me all the volumes, and I read them like crazy fast. But the thing for me was the art by Steve Dillon.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Rest in peace.
I remember reading Preacher and just being so enamored because the people were ugly.
Yes.
Because you read comics and everybody's so beautiful.
Everyone's gorgeous.
You know, all perfect these superheroes. Bodies. Yeah, all these superheroes have perfect physique and everything. But the people who in this book look like real people.
Yes.
And some of them look ugly. And I was just like, I don't know that I've ever really seen that before.
No, the only, they were bad guys in comics. The yeah. bad guys were ugly, right? Yeah. They were out of shape. They were this and that. And no, with Preacher, it's everyone. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's just such a great, if you have not read it and you like the TV show, you should give that a read. It is great.
I will say it's also written by the same guy who did The Boys. So if you like The Boys.
Oh, yes.
You'll
yes.
like Preacher.
Yes. Absolutely. So the next one on my list is actually a newer book. It's called Wind by James Tynion IV. And so it's a fantasy. It was a short miniseries. I believe there's a second run of it going now. I have not read the second run. The first, I think it was six issues for the first section of it was just absolutely amazing. You've got this adolescent being that has to be in hiding because he's magical and it's outlawed. And he stays with some friends. He also happens to have a crush on the king's son. And they are trying to get Wind out of there because it is becoming quite apparent that they're on to him. And so the rest of the series is just that journey with his friend. And the prince ends up being on this run with him. So just explore so many different things, self-acceptance and being who you are, being true to yourself. It was a really neat story. The art fit, and I wish I could remember who did the art for that story, but it eludes me right now, but it fit perfectly. I highly recommend. It's a fast read. And like I said, there's the first run of it is only like six issues. It's absolutely great.
Who's the publisher on that? I'm not familiar with this story.
Ooh, I want to say it was Boom?
Okay. That sounds like a Boom story.
Yeah. I want to say it was Boom. I'll look that up while you're talking, and then I can come back. The next one in my action adventure is one that we've both read, and that's Six Gun Gorilla.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Six Gun Gorilla yes. is written by a gentleman, Simon Spurrier, and I'm not even sure you're on Earth. You're on some planet.
You're on Mars. It's on Mars.
That's right. You're right. It is Mars. And it is just one of those stories where I literally picked it up at the bookstore because of the title yeah. and the cover.
Yep.
And I went, okay, I'm trying this. And it was just such a great read. You've got this gorilla that, I mean, he wears six shooters. And he's, oh my gosh. I mean, how would you describe it? It's just,
I don't know. It's Six Gun Gorilla is one of those books that everything's in the title.
Yes.
It's about a gorilla with a six shooter. And I guess not everything's in the title because it's set in the future and it's on Mars. And he is accompanying this guy who's like on a game show or something.
Yes.
And he basically, the guy basically wants to die, but the gorilla's keeping him alive, kind of.
Yeah.
And it's a space western
yeah.
set on Mars. And it's, I mean, you can't really get any. Now, if I should say full disclosure, gorillas in comics are one of my.
Oh, same here.
One of my things.
Yes.
When you have a good gorilla on the cover or in the story, I almost certainly buy it or yeah. at least read it.
Which is why I bought this yeah. thing in the first place.
Same thing. I was on Digital Library and I saw Six Gun Gorilla and I said, say no more.
Yeah. Yeah. You were in space and it's a Western?
Yeah.
Yep. Here we go. So, yeah. Highly recommend that. God Country is my next one. It was actually Donny Cates' first foray into comic book writing. Any of those who actually do read comics, Donny Cates most recently is famous for, he did the Venom, mm-hmm. King Symbiote yep. run. He did some stuff with Thor too, I believe, Thor, did yep. he not?
Thor and Hulk.
Thor and Hulk. He's doing a story for Image called Crossover, which is great in its own right, but there are some superheroes in that. That's why it's not on this list. But he's one of these newer writers that, you know, I see his name, it's like, ooh, I want to give this a go. So I had a chance to pick this up. And it's just one of those, it's kind of a fantastical story. Got character that is older that, you know, was this great fighter, and there's this sword, and he's kind of estranged from his son. And because of events, they have to come back together. I don't really want to give a whole lot of the sure. story away because there's just so much there. But it is just such a great read. And you have not read it, correct?
I've not read it, but I've read some Donny Cates stuff, and he's a really good writer. So if you're looking for really strong writing, definitely check that out. Even though I haven't read it, I'm going to go ahead and say, go ahead and check it out.
You're going to give it the stamp of approval?
Yeah,
all right.
Stamp.
All right. So next is a sentimental choice on mine. Okay. So like Preacher, this is a run of comics that my buddy Brett gave me, mm-hmm. and it's called Doc Holliday. So anyone who knows me knows that I love magic, I love fantasy, I love westerns, horror, and Doc Holliday kind of puts that all together.
Yes.
It's a black and white comic. I believe there's 4 or 5 issues. It's been a minute since I've read it, but Doc Holliday is your main character, and he's going against witches, he's going against all these other monsters. It's absolutely insane, but it's just great. It checks so many boxes for my personal enjoyment that that's why I went ahead and recommended it. It's by a guy named Dave Samuelson. Absolutely great read. I'm sure it's probably very hard to find.
I was going to raise that point. It's not a big publisher.
No.
So I was going to say you probably won't be able to find that. If you Google it, though, if you Google, what was his name?
Dave Samuelson.
If you Google Doc Holliday, Dave Samuelson, I'm sure you'll be able to find some kind of link. I did online to find the author, so.
Yeah. Most of these other ones you'll be able to find very easily.
Yeah.
That's the one unicorn. So the last one I have for fantasy and action is my first entry from Jeff Lemire, or Lemire, okay. However you want to say it.
Yeah, I never learned how to say his name correctly.
And I've heard it said different ways.
Both ways, yeah.
So it's Family Tree.
Okay.
So the premise of this is this young girl starts turning into a tree, and it's something that's run in the family. There's some, there's a schism between the main character's parents and the grandfather. But he has come back to save her because there are government agents that want to analyze her. Oh. And as they usually do when there's things they can't explain. There are several volumes out on this now. I believe at least 3. I've only read the first 2. Fantastic, though. It is if you've never read comics, you don't know Jeff Lemire. But
anything he does.
Almost anything he does is absolutely amazing. He's one of those ones, he'll do superhero, but he also does a lot of these other side projects that are just great. So horror. So I've got 3 entries for horror because I think we had a few that were the same in that. So the first one is one of the first when I started buying comics for myself again after when Pack Rat came to town. Nailbiter mm-hmm. was one of the ones I started getting. It's a horror comic from Joshua Williamson, who's gone on. He's done some mainstream stuff. But Nailbiter is about a town in Oregon that has the distinction of raising more serial killers than any other city in the country. And a FBI agent comes to investigate because one of his friends who was there doing a study comes up missing. And Nailbiter is the most recent one, and he does exactly what the title says. After he kills his victims, he bites off their nails. It's absolutely creepy. The story, though, I mean, it could have been such a plain story, but Williamson was able to add so many layers to it. You had the different stories. Why? The different underlying themes, I guess you'd say. One, we gotta find this missing person.
Right.
And we got to find Nailbiter. You've got this kid who has an estranged father. Her mom is the sheriff trying to work with this FBI agent. But why this town? Why so many serial killers from this town? Now, they did have a second run that went with this called Nailbiter Returns, which was also very good. But if all you did was read the original Nailbiter, which I think had 7 or 8 volumes to it. Absolutely amazing. Great run. Now, have you read Nailbiter or no?
I have not, but I have been meaning to because you've always said it's such a good book.
It is. That's one of the... So, Maddie has read very few mm-hmm. comics, but ones that she has read, Nailbiter is one of them she absolutely loved. Another one is one that you're going to talk about that we had on our list that was together. So, yeah. So, Nailbiter is absolutely amazing. My next horror, out of left field, is a title called Afterlife with Archie.
Yes.
So the author, I am not familiar with him. His name is Roberto Aguirre Sacasa. Here's all you need to know. It's the Archie gang in Zombieland.
Yes.
It is. But man, I tell you, some of these offshoot Archie stories that they've come up with the last few years have been absolutely amazing. This is another one of them. So they did, again, a bunch of offshoots with this. They've had other Afterlife with Archie volumes. You had the Sabrina Teenage Witch stories that were really good. But if you just read the first one, Afterlife with Archie, amazing read.
I will say this. I think people kind of scoff at Archie sometimes. But Archie, if you look at their history, they have tried a lot of stuff. They are not afraid.
Oh, no.
And so to see this book, I remember when it came out, everybody was like, what is this?
Yeah. What are we doing? Well, so let's talk about the different Archie things they've tried in the last few years. You had Archie versus Predator.
One of the best comics I've ever read, honestly.
it is freaking amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yes. They had Archie versus Sharknado.
Yep, that was a good one.
That was a great one, too. I've got a book of Archie crossovers. I mean, they've done so many different crossovers with so many different people. It's absolutely great. Archie versus Predator, if you just want a fun read, it's not gory. It's not, there's no adult themes to it, really. All the violence happens off page, I believe.
Yeah, Archie really strikes a good balance somehow. Yes. Like everything they do, they keep the Archie brand there.
Yes.
I don't know how they do that.
It's absolutely, but yes, so all of those are fantastic. Afterlife with Archie, cream of the crop, although the Archie versus Predator is really good too. So my last one is another Jeff Lemire, and that's Gideon Falls. Mm. It's one of the more recent ones. Boy, this one's hard to explain. You're doing a lot of, there's a lot of back and forth. You're looking at what happened, you know, back in the 1800s, early 1900s versus what's happening now. You've got this black barn. You've got this evil entity that's trying to get into our dimension. Mm-hmm. You have this priest that's trying to investigate this with these other people. You have this, oh my gosh, it is just, I know it's still going on. I read like the first 20 some issues of it, and then I've been kind of bad about reading here recently, but I have all of them saved up to read it. But it is an absolute gem of a read. Lemire hits another one out of the park. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I haven't read that one, but everything that you're just talking about checks a lot of my boxes.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like a little bit like Twin Peaks.
You know what? It does kind of have that vibe.
Yeah.
A more, yes. Yes. But it's a great read. It really is worth it.
You're going to find out probably through the course of not only this podcast, but the show in general, that we are huge Jeff Lemire fanboys.
Yes. We'll read just about anything he puts out.
I don't know that I've ever disliked anything I've read by him.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know.
I've not read everything he's done. I never read his Animal Man run.
Oh, I read part of it. It was pretty good.
Was it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, his run on The Question, that little miniseries, was good. But that's a superhero book. Yeah. We're not going to talk about it.
Yep,
stop. Just forget I said anything.
Ignore The Question.
Yes. I'm not going to give you the answer.
Ooh. So, I'm going to go ahead and start my list, I guess.
Let's hit us.
This is one of the first books that I ever... Actually, this is probably the first book that opened my eyes to what comics could do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Why the Last Man by Brian K. Vaughan.
Okay, yep.
Illustrated by Pia Guerrera. Why the Last Man is... I'm sure people know this story by now because they did have a TV show. It didn't last very long, though.
The TV show did not do the story justice. No.
But basically, it's about a virus that kills all the men on Earth.
Yes.
And except for one. And he is trying to figure out what happened and trying to stay alive. It was published by Vertigo before they got reabsorbed by DC. And this was probably the first book that I read where I thought, wow, this is what a comic can be when it's not a superhero comic, because it is a fun ride. It is action filled. It is well written. Brian K. Vaughan pretty much hits it out of the park every time. I was gonna put Saga on this list.
Oh, but Saga is amazing.
Saga is really good too, but my problem is I haven't read all of it.
And so much to read. Yes,
I'm trying to keep it like you, where I've read all or most of it.
Yeah.
So I went with Why the Last Man, which came out probably a decade before Saga or more.
Yes.
Maybe more. Decade and 12 years, maybe? I don't know. It came out after, anyway. And so, so Why the Last Man? Now, have you read that?
I have never read Why the Last Man. It is one that's been recommended to me many times.
Yeah.
And just have not been able to read that yet. But yeah, it's the show did not do that justice.
And I will say, Why the Last Man has an ending that still resonates with me to this day. And I read this almost 10 years ago, and it still hits me in the heart. So it's a very good read. Next on my list is one of my top comic books of all time.
Okay.
And that's Chew.
Oh, very good.
Chew is written by John Layman and drawn by Rob Gilroy, published by Image Comics. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's basically about a guy who has the psychic ability to, what would you say, like, be able to trace the things that happens to whatever he eats. So if he eats a cow, if he eats a cheeseburger, he can tell how the cow died.
Correct.
And if he eats an apple, he can tell the pesticides that were sprayed on
him. Yes.
So he's basically employed as a detective to eat victims to see how they died and who killed them.
Yes.
But then it turns into this huge, huge thing. It only lasted 60 issues, which is another part of my criteria. I thought, oh, that's really manageable in terms of comic books, because some of these comics go for hundreds of issues.
Yes.
So, and that's part of the reason that you don't, you know, people have problems getting into comics.
Yes.
You don't know where to start. But you can get all the trades of Chew. But it's so funny.
Yes.
And so action-packed. And the art, Rob Gilroy's art and John Layman's writing, this is like perfect unison. Oh,
absolutely.
Between the two. And what I really like to do is scan his art, because he puts a lot of Easter eggs in there and just like fun stuff. But yeah, this John Layman, I don't know what else he's written. I know I think he wrote like Cyclops and some other stuff.
But this is his main.
But this is like his, I love this book. Like, I've read this whole series like 2.5 times. I'm like halfway through it again now.
Now, have you read his follow-up where it's his sister?
Not yet.
Yeah.
I don't know if I bought it on Comixology or if it's just on my wish list.
Gotcha.
But yeah. So Chew, if you're looking for something kind of morbid and funny, black humor, I would say. Yeah, go with Chew.
Very unique.
Yes.
Very unique setup, and oh my gosh, yeah.
It's got a unique premise.
Premise, there we go.
And it just turns into this huge worldwide kind of thing.
Yeah.
Story, and it's really great. I can't praise it enough. Which brings me to the next one, which I also can't praise enough, which is the Hellboy universe. Now, I'm going to say this. If you start reading Hellboy, you do want to start from the very beginning. But Hellboy has been around for over 25 years now. So there is a lot of Hellboy.
Oh, a lot of Hellboy.
But, and it's its own universe.
Yes.
But it's so, so worth it. Mike Mignola started it. He wrote it and drew it originally. It's grown to a network of writers and artists. He still mostly writes everything, but he'll have partners helping him sometimes. And other people will do the art, because he's just pumping out so much.
Yeah.
But Hellboy is basically a demon who comes from hell. He's summoned to Earth, and he joins the BPRD, which is the Bureau for Paranormal Research and Defense. And he spends his life trying to thwart supernatural defenses. And it becomes this huge storyline, including Rasputin and the devil and these giant monsters, and BPRD gets a spinoff, and then there's a guy named Lobster Johnson who's a pulp hero. He gets his own spinoff. He's kind of Hellboy's hero. It's just got action, it's got humor, it's got horror, and it's got a mix of mythologies from around the world. I kind of think it's going to become in the future American mythology, because it's American folklore is kind of a mix of stuff.
Yeah.
And this is a mix of folklore from around the world mixed in with the original folklore of Hellboy. So I kind of think in the future we'll look at this as a sort of proto-myth mythology.
Okay.
So I don't know. How much Hellboy have you read?
I have read scant amounts of Hellboy. I have read some. I actually currently have a digital copy of the Volume 1 Omnibus.
Yes.
And then I've read a lot of the miniseries that, as you talk about, kind of come after. There's all these little 4-issue stories and 5-issue stories. Those are some of my favorite things to read, because, like you mentioned already, sometimes committing to that, you know, 1,000-page omnibus is a little daunting.
Yep.
So to just read these little mini series, it's a lot nicer. You still get the character, you get a fun story, but then you're done.
Yeah.
So my Hellboy, I'm not as versed in him as you are at all, but he is a great character in the stories. The art in the Hellboy books is just fantastic.
And I do want to say that if you start reading Hellboy, there are reading orders online. Like the reading order, you can find pretty easily. So it's not as daunting, because you do want to start from the beginning.
Yes. He is one that you need to understand the origin.
Yeah. Next is another one of my favorite books published by Image Comics, which was what Chew was published by, God Hates Astronauts.
Oh, yes.
Now, yes. I don't really know how to explain God Hates Astronauts, but it kind of starts off with this group of super... Well, is it a superhero book?
Ooh.
That might be a superhero book.
You know what? I think it might. I think you would classify that as a superhero book.
Okay, that's disqualified, but just know it's the funniest comic I've ever
read. One of the best books you could ever read.
It had me laughing out loud, and that is not a common thing.
So one of my favorite things, I hope this is the right story I'm thinking of now, is when you're first reading it, it tells you what voice.
It gives a voice cast.
So, and if you can do that, you can sit there and go, oh, I'm reading this.
Yep.
This person's dialogue is this character, is this actor. Oh my God, it's great.
Yeah, so... I guess I'll take that one as an unofficial recommendation. I'll save that for the superhero books, but just know it's the funniest book I've ever read.
It is fantastic. You can't go wrong with that.
So skipping to the next one, then. That's kind of funny because God Hates Astronauts gets a funny send-off, so it works.
Yeah, get out of here.
And this is one that we both like and both had on our list, Usagi Yojimbo.
Oh, yes.
By Stan Sakai.
Yes.
If you're unfamiliar with this book is another one that's been around for a long time. It's been around longer than Hellboy.
Yes.
It is about a samurai rabbit, mm-hmm. Usagi Yojimbo, meaning samurai rabbit. He's a ronin, which is a masterless samurai. And basically, it's his adventures in Japan. And it's been going on since the 80s?
Yeah.
And it's a nice black and white comic book, and it's got a lot of heart.
Oh my gosh. I'm staring at my volume one that I have. Of Usagi Yojimbo. It's just one of those... He's such a great character to root for.
Yeah,
he's honorable, good-hearted, and some of those stories, the underlying meaning to them was just so fantastic.
Yeah.
Boy, it is hard-pressed to find stories like that.
Yeah.
He is such a great character. I'm not sure that you need to read him in any kind of order. I think he's one of those ones that you could pick up any of the storylines and you'd probably be okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a great book.
Yeah.
That's all I can say about that.
And one of the best black and white comics I've ever
read. Oh, agreed.
So if you're into black and white comics, read that. This is another black and white comic, and this is a personal favorite of mine, American Splendor.
Okay.
Written by the late, great Harvey Pekar from Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
and drawn by just a host of people. American Splendor is a series of autobiographical stories about Harvey and his life. He was mostly famous for writing about his life. And what I like about this story is that it shows the power of everyday life,
mm-hmm.
And the ability to turn it into a story that is interesting and connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
This one might be a little hard to get into if you don't like biographies or nonfiction.
Yes, yes.
But I think he spins it in such a way that, I don't know, it was instrumental in me writing comics.
Well, and this is one of those... You got to know what the person likes and what they don't like, right? But I think what you said was great. Is it shows how this life, I mean, there's nothing grand or great. It's just the way he told his story. It's really neat. But I agree, it's not for everyone. If you have to be one, I think, in a certain mindset to enjoy it. But it's definitely one I think any comic fan should read.
Yeah. And you can just, I don't know, it's easy to relate to because it's everyday life.
Yes, correct.
So, you know what? Third black and white one in a row.
Oh, here we go.
And this is one that you had as well on your list originally. From Hell by Alan Moore and Eddie Campbell.
Mm.
I can't say enough about From Hell.
Yeah. Some people are going to know it from Johnny Depp movie,
Johnny
right?
Depp, yep.
Yeah. So, I don't think I ever watched the movie. I'm assuming that it didn't. Did they do a good
adaptation? I don't remember it. I watched it so long before I read the book.
Yeah. The book is just, I think for me, set aside the Swamp Thing, which I think is by far my favorite Alan Moore thing. This is probably my favorite thing he's done.
Yes.
It's just such a great story.
Now, I'm a huge, huge Alan Moore fan. He's the reason I started making comics, or writing comics in the first place. And... this, I think, is his best work.
Yeah.
I would put it on par there with Watchmen and the level of detail and the complexity of this book, because Alan Moore isn't necessarily entry-level reading.
No,
but
no.
If you're going to read an Alan Moore book, I would recommend From Hell.
Yes.
Because it's, and I skipped over this, but it's about Jack the Ripper.
Yes.
And it's about the history.
We should mention that.
The history of the Whitechapel area. And it kind of goes back and forth between time and dreams and what's real and what's not. And it's Alan Moore's theory about who Jack the Ripper was. And I love the art by Eddie Campbell. It is amazing. And it fits the story so well.
Mm-hmm.
And the black and white just works.
It's a fantastic read.
It's a little bit big.
Yes.
And there is a companion volume and footnotes, or endnotes. So you kind of have to read the endnotes.
Yeah.
But don't make it like homework. It's a good read.
It is. But you have to have some time.
Yeah. Clear your schedule.
Yes.
The next one is a huge, huge influence on me and part of the reason that I started drawing.
Uh-huh.
And this is Carl Barks's Duck Stories.
Oh, there we go. Uh-huh.
Uncle Scrooge and Donald Duck. If you don't know Carl Barks, he was the man who created Uncle Scrooge and pioneered the Donald Duck. I think pretty much everybody knows Donald Duck, you'd think.
He's with Bugs Bunny, right?
Oh, yeah. Close enough.
He's a duck, right?
He's a duck.
Yeah, okay.
So, this is a career-spanning thing. There's many volumes of his work, and they're collections of short stories about Donald or Uncle Scrooge, and they are just magical. I mean, like, they hold up. They're from, like, the 40s mm-hmm. and the 50s, and they, to this day, I think they've been recolored by Fantagraphics.
Yes.
So that really helps, but the actual art and storytelling really holds up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty timeless. I mean, you think about agreed. Uncle Scrooge, and he's just a timeless character.
Enough credit's not given to the comics like that from back in the day, because we focus on the superhero, or we focus on the dark and gritty and realism nowadays, right? But stories like these, especially if you grew up on Disney and whatnot, they're just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, if you like DuckTales,
basically
you have Carl Barks to thank for that.
Yeah.
His work was instrumental in that. But he just puts Donald Duck and Uncle Scrooge in these situations, pretty much any situation you could imagine, and he just writes and draws, and that was a huge influence on me, and that really led me down the path to the things that I've discovered that I really loved now. So I can't really give a synopsis because there's so many volumes of them.
Oh my gosh, no. It's
but Carl Barks, and it's funny because he was working at a time before artists were really credited.
Yeah.
So people just called him the Good Duck Artist.
Yeah.
And they figured out he was the same guy drawing all the time because the art was so good. And then, so if you're in the mood for lighthearted fun and just some wacky duck antics, definitely check out anything by Carl Barks and the Ducks. The next one, another black and white one, and not so cheery as the Ducks, is Mouse.
Oh.
By Art Spiegelman.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
This is a very heavy book.
Yes.
It's definitely the heaviest book on this list. I don't mean weight-wise, I mean subject matter-wise.
Yep.
This is Art Spiegelman's account of his father's time during the Holocaust.
Yes.
You probably know it. It's the famous, it won a Pulitzer. Yep. I think it was the first comic to win a Pulitzer ever. And it's the famous one where people are depicted as mice and cats.
Yeah.
This is another biographical one, just like American Splendor, but this one is the subject is much darker.
Yes.
But I think that it's on my list because it shows you the power of words and images together.
Yes.
This
agreed.
If you think about it, this book came out in 1986. Nothing like this had ever been done before.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And just to put it in context, Art Spiegelman was working on this book at the same time he was making Garbage Pail Kids cards. That's how talented this man is. He can turn around and make a book.
I forgot that.
Yeah. They didn't want him to reveal that information at the time. But this is a man who defined a generation of cartoonists.
Yeah.
And this book is what did it.
Well, you know, it's the old saying, if a book's getting banned, it's worth reading, right? And it amazes me. I actually just picked up, I had read it before from a library or someone had it, a friend, and I found a copy at the Book Loft, of all places.
Yeah.
Columbus, Ohio. If you've never been, go to the Book Loft.
Go to the Book Loft, 32 rooms.
Oh my gosh, it's great.
You're going to find something you like.
It's one of those books that, you can't read often, but everyone should read at least once, because when people think of comics, they think of the silly colors and tights and this and that, and this just shows that treated properly, you can tell a very serious story.
Yeah.
Through the medium.
So next is Bone.
Oh, Bone.
By Jeff Smith.
Oh.
This is Bone. Actually the one I would recommend you read first.
Yes.
If you want to get into comics, because it has a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's got humor, fantasy, action. It's got great drawing. It's got great storytelling. And it's self-contained. It's a pretty big book if you get the one volume.
If you look at my compendium you've got over there.
It's kind of big, but it's so worth it. And it's such a quick read, I think.
It's, yes.
Jeff Smith is also a local. He's from Columbus.
Yes.
So I'm going to plug that. But yeah, this is a great book. It's basically about three cousins who get lost. They get run out of Boneville, which is their home. And they end up in a mysterious new land. And they just land right in the middle of this upheaval. Kind of, mm-hmm. And this ancient evil is coming back. I'd be hard-pressed to say maybe people who don't know Bone, but I'm sure there's people listening who've never heard of it, but...
Oh, yeah, I would imagine. I think that's a safe bet. It is a fantastic read. This, Bone, so Bone was another one of those books that my buddy Brett... he did not give me that compendium. He gave me Out of Boneville, the first volume, and I was hooked after that. It's such a great read.
It's a great read, and it's such an easy entry point
to
comics, so I always recommend that to people. I should have said that first, I guess, but that's just where I had it written down on my list. But yeah, if you're looking to start mm-hmm. with Bone.
Start with Bone.
So next, let's geek out some more.
Okay.
Jeff Lemire's Sweet Tooth.
Oh, Sweet Tooth.
Sweet Tooth is probably one of my top books of all time.
Yes, agreed.
It's up there with Chew for me. I don't really know how you would describe it. It's a post-apocalyptic sci-fi.
Yeah, so some people might know it from the Netflix.
TV show, that's right.
There was a Netflix series. It is just such... So that's another one of the comics that Maddie has read from start to finish.
Oh.
Was Sweet Tooth. It's post-apocalyptic. You've got these children who are... If you didn't watch the show and don't know anything about it, you start having kids that are born that are half human and half animal. And... You don't know why. And so you've got these kids being rounded up. Well, and Sweet Tooth is hid away by his dad. His dad ends up not making it. And he's found by a stranger who protects him. And it is just such a great story. I mean, it gives you everything too, right? You've got action, it's fantasy. It's got some sweet moments, some funny moments. It's heartwarming, my gosh, is just because Sweet Tooth is such a innocent character.
Yeah,
it is just and to see him kind of evolve through the story is just fantastic. I know they recently did like a follow-up.
That's right, they did.
And I can't remember if I want to say it was still called Sweet Tooth, but it was a new generation.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So it doesn't really connect with the original Sweet Tooth. I think it ran for 40-some issues.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that many.
Maybe 30-some. I guess I could go look at that book right there. But, yeah, it is. If you don't start with Bones, start with Sweet Tooth.
Yeah.
It is such a great story. It, like you, I would put that in my top. It's at the very least the top 10 of all time for me.
Well, the other thing is Jeff Lemire is one of those artists that you just know his artwork.
Yes.
And that is so valuable in comics because mm-hmm. it's such a visual medium. So you start to read his work and it just stands out to you. So if you're looking for unique artwork, definitely check out Sweet Tooth. I want to get a personal plug for Archie in.
Mm-hmm.
Not Afterlife with Archie, but so in, I think, 2014 or 15 or something like that, they did a reboot of Archie. Written by Mark Waid.
Yes, and the great Fiona, Mark Waid.
Yeah, the great Mark Waid. I love Mark Waid. But Fiona Staples drew the first couple issues from Saga. It was a perfect reboot because it was just serious enough, just funny enough.
Mm-hmm.
It captured the heart of Archie. It captured the spirit of real life. It wasn't too dramatic like some TV properties mm-hmm. that Archie might have spawned. But it wasn't... But it wasn't super goofy like the original. But I love the original Archie.
Yeah.
But this is the perfect balance if you're looking to start reading comics. I don't know how many volumes this went.
I don't know. I stopped reading after the I think after volume two.
I was like three or four.
Yeah.
I just kind of fell off because I was reading a lot and I'm not reading and stuff. So, but this is really great artwork. It's really good storytelling. It moves it forward. And it's like, it is the Archie you remember as a kid, just modernized.
Yes. Mark Waid, to get a talent like him, a writer like him, to write that, that is just, wow.
It was a great idea. I loved it. And then let's end this with Harrow County.
Oh, yes.
That's by your man, Colin Bunn.
Love Colin Bunn.
And amazing art by Taylor Crook.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what really drew me to that book in the first place was the covers.
Yes.
Now, I haven't read all of Harrow County, but I've read quite a bit of it. Is it Harrow or Harrow?
I always say Harrow County.
Okay.
But
you know it's like what? Harrowing. It, like the word harrowing.
Yeah. Harrowing?
Harrowing?
I
don't know.
Hey, you guys out there that are listening, is it Harrow or Harrow? What would you prefer?
I always said Harrow County, but but it's a horror book.
Oh, yeah.
And it's about a young girl who finds out that she is the spawn of a witch, right? Or the reincarnation of a witch. And the townspeople don't like that.
Yeah, they don't take too well to
just
it.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
But it is beautifully done.
Oh, my gosh.
Beautifully written, beautifully drawn. It's a Dark Horse comic book. Dark Horse makes some of the great indie comics.
Yes.
Or the great non-superhero comics, at least. And this is a book that is really actually pretty creepy. There's very few, I would say there's very few comics that really creep me out.
Mm-hmm.
But the art in this and there's a sack of skin that's a character.
Yes.
That's really gross.
Yeah.
And that's pretty creepy.
It's Colin Bunn. Man, he can do horror. He can do horror. And, I mean, this is like the pinnacle.
Yeah.
He's done so many great things. But, yeah. Harrow. You know what? Harrow County? Now you got me wondering. Anyways. Harrow.
County.
If you like horror, if you're a fan of Stephen King or any other horror writer, start with Harrow County, Harrow County, because that is such a great read. The art is amazing. I forget how many issues it went. It actually had a pretty nice run.
Yeah.
But it is just a fantastic read.
Yeah. I can't say enough about it. I was hooked. I read the whole, I was like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
I read like tons of it at once and then I kind of fell off reading, but.
It's one of those ones though, I will say, you don't want to read too much of it at once. You read a few issues, stop, read something cheery or read something else. Then you go back to it, read a few more, stop. Cause man, it will after a while just kind of wears on you as dark as it is.
Yeah.
So I realized I forgot a couple things.
Okay.
One, I forgot to mention one of my sci-fi fantasy ones, East of West.
Oh, yeah.
East of West is it's a sci-fi western. It's a space western. It's a dystopian future, and it focuses on the four horsemen. They're basically who we're rooting for of the apocalypse. And they're trying to kill the president of the United States.
Oh, wow.
It is an absolute, I don't know, I can't remember if I said it's from Jonathan Hickman, amazing writer. It is a great story. I believe they're about to make a Netflix movie based on it. Fantastic. Absolutely great read, especially if you're into the whole sci-fi western genre. And then I had one honorable mention that you and I kind of talked about. If you want your childhood memories of all your favorite comic strip and cartoon characters ruined, get a book called Weapon Brown. Now, this is another one of those. It will be hard to find. It was published a few years back and then sold out. And then it took several years before they start printing again. It's written by a guy named Jason Youngbluth. And it is an absolute wild ride. It is in a apocalyptic future where Charlie Brown is like this mercenary. He's all jacked up and he's going after this unknown villain. And it just, have you ever read it?
Oh yeah, you lent it to
me. That's right. That's right. It is just, if you hold any kind of special place in your heart for your comic strip characters, this probably isn't the book for you. But if you can read something and just enjoy it for its warped, twisted, you know, demeanor, then this is something worth reading.
Definitely. It's messed up, but it's great.
Oh, it was awesome. Absolutely fantastic.
One thing I do want to say before we go, because this has been a really quick hour.
It has. Oh, my
we'll
gosh.
We'll definitely have to do a sequel to this one.
Oh, as you were talking, I thought of like a dozen other books that I could have recommended.
But I just wanted to say, local comic book stores are a great resource if you want to get into comics. If you don't have one close to you, you can do Comixology, which is a digital comics service, and they have pretty much everything.
Yep.
And then, most important to me, you can get lots and lots and lots of comics from your local library.
Absolutely.
And that's a kind of a good option, because if you don't like it, you can start buying them if you like it, but you might want to test it out.
You can always test it out. And then there's the service, like, so in Marysville, I think they have it in, like, Columbus and whatnot. They have Hoopla.
Yes. Oh, yeah, Hoopla.
So, and what that allows you to do is you can borrow books digitally. And so you can borrow comics, you can borrow graphic novels, movies, music, and regular books. But you can do it digitally, and you get, like, I think it's 18 or 20 borrows a month. 21
now. 21
now?
Yep.
And so, I mean, that has been a way where when something fell through the cracks and I didn't pick it up at the shop, or it's just like, oh, I'm already getting enough, I'll just wait.
Yeah.
I'll use Hoopla because it's so nice. I prefer having the paper in my hands, but I am quite all right reading it on my tablet as well. So Hoopla is an amazing resource too.
Yeah, so I guess I just wanted to say, like, the accessibility is there.
Oh, there's all kinds. You can go to half-price bookstores, used bookstores. I mean, there's so many places to get comics these days. The opportunities are endless, but feel free if you like this episode, but nothing we described sounded good to you, drop us a comment on our socials, whether it be Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Tell us what kind of stuff you like, and we'll do our best to try to find something that we think that would be a good place for you guys to start. Or if there's a book that you've read that you think would be a great recommendation, throw that in the comments too.
Definitely.
Because we'd love to hear what kind of things you guys have enjoyed, and we'd love to get more people reading comics. There's a lot more to it than just tights.
So much more. And what they don't know is that every time a new person reads their comics, we get wings.
Or is it
a halo?
Oh.
Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings? Is
that
it?
Yeah, that's
we get our wings.
We get our wings?
Yeah, or we grow beard hair.
Oh, well, there we go.
Yeah, that's more useful to us. This was a great list, by the way, on your part.
Well, thank you. I think together we've got most everyone covered with this list. I really think so.
I think so.
I've already got, like, I started thinking of so many other books that it's like, oh my gosh, that are newer that we could have suggested. So, I mean, the possibilities are endless. So this will definitely have a sequel to it, like some of our others.
And like we said, we will do a superhero edition.
Oh, absolutely.
So hold on to your tights.
Very well played. I think on that, I think we're done with that one.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed, and we'll talk to you soon. Stay nerdy.